I have with me, before I open up and read the scripture, I got two different articles with me here this morning, and I wanted you to take a look at these things. This one in my right hand is a picture of my sweet wife, taken back in 1983, all right, 3 years after we were married. I've carried that in my wallet for 21 years. All right, it's been in my wallet 21, so more than that. Anyway, since 1983, whatever that was, maybe 31 years. So it's been in my wallet for a long time, and I cherish this little picture. In this hand, I got a bottle top. It's basically junk. All right, this one's got no value. And, you know, it'll end up in the recycle bin. It's of no value. I'm not worried about it. This one's special to me. And as we think about these two things, I want us to think about, why is this precious and this is junk? As far as the value of what they're made of, this one's probably got a little bit more value. The bottle top's made of plastic, and it probably costs a little bit more than this little piece of paper. But this has got value because it's special to me. And, you know, we value things, and we place things that are important to us on a high level. And things that aren't important, just toss them around. We don't care. They're not important to us. But things that are important, we carry with us. They're precious to us, and I carry it right here in the middle of my wallet so I can see it anytime I open up my wallet. It's right there. And I keep that with me all the time because of my wife. And you know, as we think about these things, this morning we're going to consider how we treat the Bible. How we treat the Bible. And you know, many of us, without even knowing it, probably don't treat the Bible like we should. Sometimes we kind of know we don't, but other times we don't even realize it. And this morning I want us to focus our thoughts on one verse in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 13. Look at that verse with me. Proverbs 13 and verse 13. It says, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." Again it says, "Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded." The word despise doesn't mean that we hate it, or we just say, "Ah, that's rubbish." But it means to think little of. It means to have a very little value in our mind about it. It's just something like this bottle top that's, yeah, I don't care. You know, if you throw it on the ground, step on it, drop it on the road, it doesn't really matter to me. It doesn't have any value to me. It's not precious to me. It's unimportant. All right? And that's what the word despise means. It means to just treat something as if it's not important. And sometimes, without even realizing it, we treat the Bible that way. And I want us to see some details about this. As we look at this, I want to answer four questions that this verse brings to our mind. Don't worry, the wall, ceiling won't fall in. There's lots of wind outside, and it just kind of pushes those tiles. All right, it won't fall in on it. But the four questions I want us to answer. The first question is this. How may we despise God's Word? How could we just do that? How is that possible? And you look at your own life as we go through these things and see where you fit into this category. The first way that we can despise the Bible is probably the most blatant one, the most obvious one, and that is by not reading it at all. If you never read the Bible, well, it's not important to you. It's just one of those books that you got on your shelf, you pull it off. Sometimes you pull it off to bring it with you on Sunday. A lot of times people don't even bother to do that. They leave it right on the shelf and don't even bring it to church on Sunday. And it's not important to them. So they just leave it there. It collects dust. And it's been sitting there for years. And I know where it is if I ever need it. And it'll be there. But I don't read it. And I don't really pay any attention to it. It's just a book on my shelf. And that's tragic. But many professing Christians never read the Bible at all. They never read the Bible at all. And in that sense, they despise the Bible. They have the Bible, but they don't do anything with it. The second way that we can despise the Bible is to seldom read it because it's not a top priority. Say, well, I read the Bible some. If I was to ask, and I won't do this because I don't want to embarrass you, but if I was to ask how many read the Bible, well, you might say, oh, yeah, I read it. Let me see when it is. Yeah, I read it. I read it. And we don't want to be embarrassed, so we say, yes, I've read the Bible. I read the Bible. But when, well, last week or the week before, I can't remember, but I did read the Bible. All right? And so it's not very important, so we don't do it very often. It's a seldom done thing. You know, maybe it's something where, you know, something comes up and you got a question and say, oh, somewhere in the Bible that's got the answer. Let me see if I can find it. And you can't find it, and you look in there. But you don't very often read the Bible. You know that even among faithful Christians, many don't read the Bible very often. There was a survey done in America, and I couldn't find any statistics in Australia, but I think the statistics here wouldn't be any better. Perhaps might be worse. Who knows? But the statistics said that among 19% of Protestants read the Bible. Now, Protestants, that's a big category. It basically includes anybody besides the Catholics that believes in God. You know, that's basically what it includes. So there's a big category there. But it says only 19% of them ever read the Bible on a daily basis. They just, it's not that important. That means that 81% seldom read the Bible. Now, if we were to take a survey here this morning, and I won't do that, but if we did, I wonder how the survey would be in our little group here. How many would be able to say, every day I read the Bible, or once a week I read the Bible, or once a month I read the Bible, or once in a while I do? But where would we fit in this category? So, we despise the Bible, first of all, by not reading it all. Secondly, we despise the Bible by seldom reading it, because it's not important to us. It's not a top priority. We don't make a priority for it and say, I'm going to set aside time to do this. The third way that we despise the Bible is by reading it, but not meditating on it. And I'm afraid that this is probably where many Christians fall into this category. And I'll confess to you this morning, for a long time, many, many times in my life, I have fallen into this category where I read it and didn't really meditate on it, didn't really mean much to me. You know, it's the kind where you read through a chapter, and when you get all done, you say, what did I read? Can't really remember. What was it about? Don't really know. Somebody asked you 2 hours later, where in the Bible did you read? Well, it was in the New Testament somewhere. See, it didn't mean anything to us. It did a big zero for us that day. And so we didn't really pay attention to it. It's just like grabbing the newspaper, flipping it open, looking at a couple things, and shutting it up and forgetting all about it because it wasn't important. And you know, I have so many times fallen into that category. And probably you have too. And we don't want to be in that category. And what I want us to see this morning is when we identify where we're at, then I want us to look at how we can benefit if we get out of that rut and do what God wants. And so, I'm admitting, I've been in this rut many times. Now, for a long time, I'm very grateful. I was challenged as a teenager. When I was 13 years old, I was challenged at a Bible camp to start reading the Bible every day. And virtually every day since I was 13, I've read the Bible. Now, there's been a few days, maybe I was sick, or we were on an airplane and I couldn't tell what day it was, or some of those kind of things. Maybe I didn't. But I can guarantee many of the times I read it was just like this one here. I did it. What'd you read? Don't ask me, but I did read it. I know I did. Right? And so I did read it, but I didn't necessarily gain much from it. So we can fall into that category. But it's good to determine we're going to read the Bible every day, but we need more than that. We need more than that. So we can fall into this category where we read the chapter, we don't know what it means, we don't know what it said, we read it quickly just to get it done. You know, maybe you're reading a Bible reading schedule, and reading schedules are important because it helps us focus. But they can also be a problem if all we do is say, all right, I got 10 more verses. I'm running late. I'm reading from. All right, ticked it off. I did it. And I read my Bible today, and I'm done. All right, because I got stuff to go do, and I run off and take off. And so they can be a problem having a reading Bible schedule. We get reading too fast. Another thing that often happens is that we read at a time when we have competition. You're sitting in the room, your favorite chair because it's the soft one. The television's on. The radio's going. The kids are all running around playing. There's all kinds of noise. You're trying to read your Bible. And you hear something on television. You say, stop, check that out. And or the radio says something. Oh, stop and listen to that. Or the kids are fighting. You stop and take care of that. What did you get by the end of it? Hardly anything. Because you had all these interruptions. And so there's things, the family chatter and our other thoughts. You know, sometimes you'll be reading along. Also, when we're reading, sometimes we just read because it's our duty. You know, it's, I got to read it. It's my duty. You know, I said I would. Or I want to be a good Christian, so I got to read my Bible. So that's the right thing to do. So I'm going to read something today just so I can say I read it and I've done my duty. And all of these things, when we do this, what does it do for us? It does do something for us, but maybe not what we hoped it would do for us. What it does for us is it makes us feel self-righteous. And that's not so good. Because what that does, it makes me feel good because I did my Bible reading. I ticked the box. I did that. I said what I was supposed to do. I did it. And I'm a good Christian because I did it. But it didn't do anything for me. And that's tragic. And really what is happening is I am self-righteously despising the Bible. I'm treating it like it's really not very important. If it was a letter from my dear friend, I would take care of it. I would read it carefully. I would read every word. I'd say, be quiet, everybody. I'm trying to read. I've got to get this down. I don't want to miss anything. I get the special letter. But it's God's word. Oh, well, anything's good enough. Just get it done. Tick it off. I've done that. Right? So we're really despising the word of God when that happens. And anyone who's read the Bible consistently for any length of time knows what that struggle is like. We've done that. We've been there. We've struggled with that because all of us have struggled with making it real and applying it and making an application in our life. So that's a real problem we have. But you know, there's another way that we can despise it that's even a little bit more subtle beyond that. You may read the Bible and you may even meditate on it. You may even focus on it and pay attention to what you're reading and be able to tell me later on what you read. But if we don't put it into our life, it hasn't done us any good. You know, there's some Christians that are full of information, but they lack application. We can have all the information. You know, we can be able to rattle off Bible verses. We can be able to say, I know where that is. I know who that guy was. I know what they did. And this is what God said in the Bible, and this is what this verse says. We can tell all the answers, but if we don't apply it to our life, did it do us any good? Not really. All it did is filled us with information and made us more self-righteous. And it didn't really change us. You know, the purpose of the Bible in our life is for transformation, not information. God gave us the Bible to change us, not just to entertain us, not just to fill us with information, not just so that we can be walking Bible encyclopedias, so we can have all the answers. And somebody says, who's this? I know who that is. Who's this? I know who that is. I know what that is. And we know all the information, but if it doesn't help us, and if it doesn't change our life, it's just made us more of a Pharisee, more of a self-righteous person that knows all the answers, but it hasn't changed their life. The Bible is after transformation, not information. Now, flip back with me to the book of James. Way to the end of your Bible, James, just before Hebrews, or after Hebrews, Hebrews, James. James chapter 1. I want to show you a verse here in James chapter 1. Very important verse that deals with this that we're talking about right here. James chapter 1, and look at verse number 22. James chapter 1 and verse number 22. We'll be looking at 22 down through number 25. So look at James 1, 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. What's that next word? Deceiving your own selves. So God says if we're a hearer but not a doer, we've deceived who? Ourselves. We've deceived ourselves. All right. Then look at the next verse. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Now, when he's talking about a glass, he's not talking about a drinking glass. He's not talking about a window. He's talking about a mirror. All right. So here's a person that takes and he looks into the mirror. And the Bible is the mirror of the word of God. And he says, he's like a man who looks into a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. All right, so that's like one of you ladies getting up in the morning and your hair is everywhere and your face is a mess and you look in the mirror and say, whoa, what a mess. And you walk away and say, I don't care, I'll leave it that way. Not too many of you would do that. That's not a real intelligent thing to do, especially if you're going away. All right, no, you'd look in the mirror and say, oh, I got to fix this. I got all these problems. I got to fix these things. Oh, what am I going to do? And we take care of the problems. So God says, if we look into the Word of God, which is our mirror, and we see what God tells us to do, and God says, this needs to change, and we say, yeah, man, I don't like that. That's hard. All right. And we shut it up, and we walk away and do nothing. He said, we're just like a person looks in the mirror and ignores what he saw. Didn't do you any good. And God said, that is despising his word. We're treating it as if it is not important. And so, this kind of despising is probably some of the worst of all, because we read it, we meditated on it, we know what God said, we know what principle we're supposed to have in our life, and we ignore it. All right? Jean-Ray, just go see if somebody's messing with the lights. The fan's still on, so that's an indication that maybe things are okay, and maybe it's just somebody's clowning around. But carry on. No big deal. We're fine here. As we think about this, we have probably, if you've read the Bible at all, you've probably struggled with some of these kind of things. You know what I'm talking about. I've done that. I've been there. I've read things and failed to apply it. And that's not right. God wants us to apply the Word to our life. He wants to put it into practice in our life. And so we need to focus on that and let God help us and direct us and guide us in these things. Now, so we've looked at, first of all, what it means to despise the Bible. We had four categories of despising the Bible. First of all, we despise the Bible by ignoring it, not doing anything with it. We despise the Bible, secondly, by reading it only once in a while because it's not a top priority. We despise the Bible, thirdly, by reading it and not meditating on it, not getting anything out of it, just read it through because I'm supposed to read it. We despise the Bible, the fourth way is by reading it, meditating on it, learning something from it, but ignoring it and don't put it into my life. And all four of those ways are wrong. God wants us to read the Bible and learn from the Bible and apply it to our lives. God wants us to apply. And He wants it to change us. So the Bible is for transformation, not for information. It is for application, not just information. God wants our life to change. And so we need to work at that. We need to focus on that. Second thing I want us to notice here this morning, a second question is, what will happen if I despise God's Word? What's going to happen? All right, notice what the verse said again there in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 13. Proverbs 13, verse 13. He said, "Whoso despiseth the Word shall be," what's the next word? Destroyed. Destroyed. Now, the word destroyed there means to bring to ruin. Or literally to bring ruin upon ourself. Doesn't mean to go to hell. It means to bring ruin on yourself. It means to mess up your life. It means to make a mess of things. To wreck things. You know, in years past, there was a lot of problem when the sailors were out on the sea. We're talking about a couple hundred years ago. They were out on the sea. A lot of sailors would die. And for a long time, they didn't know why they were getting sick and dying. Then someone discovered that it was a lack of vitamin C. They had scurvy. And it was just because they weren't intaking the right vitamins. And as soon as they started taking lemons on board or oranges or anything else that had vitamin C, the sailors would get fine and they'd be fine and they would stay well. And you know, many times it's the same way in our lives, as Christians who despise the Bible, many times we don't know that it's happening, and all of a sudden we're not well spiritually, and things start going wrong, and life starts falling apart, and our life is a wreck and a ruin, and God's saying, because something's lacking. You're missing the faithful Bible reading, meditating, and application in your life. And so, we need to get back into what we need to do. So God says here, to destroy means to bring ruin upon myself, and to cause problems. So when I don't read the Bible, I am bringing ruin on myself. I'm harming myself if I don't read the Bible, focus on it, learn from it, and apply it to my life. And the same is true in your life. Now, despising the Bible will ruin your life in several ways. First of all, you will never know true closeness to God if you don't read the Bible. I don't care how much you might pray or how much you might try hard to be a nice person. If you don't read the Bible and the Word of God doesn't come into your heart, you are not going to be close to God like you need to be close to God. You're going to have a distant relationship with God if you don't get close to God through the Bible reading. The Bible reading is very, very, very important in our life. Not only that, we're going to lack God's power. You know, we live in an age, perhaps worse than any other age thus far, where there's scores of Christians or professing Christians that are powerless. They don't give victory over sin. They don't win people to Christ. They don't live a victorious life. They live a life in the flesh, arguing, fighting, bickering, carrying on. And that's Christians around us all over the world. Why is it? God said that it'll lead to ruin if we neglect the Word of God. And so we must spend time in the Bible. will also struggle with sin. You try to get victory over sin and not read the Bible, you're not going to make it. It's not going to work. That sin that has been plaguing you will continue plaguing you until you start reading the Bible and get close to God and draw near to God. That's just the only way it is. There's not any other way around it. We've got to spend time in the Bible. You will lack the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You know, as I... sometime back, not too long ago, I just took a look. Well, many times I've told my wife, I said, you know, one thing that frustrates me, many times I don't see as much of the fruit of the Spirit in my life as I'd like to see. And whose fault's that? You know, it's easy to say, well, why doesn't God just zap me and give me all this love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance? Why don't I just wake up tomorrow morning and poof, my life's full of it? It doesn't work that way. See, I've got to let God work in my heart. God was reminding me of that this morning. There are a lot of passive imperatives in the Bible. Now, that's a little bit grammatical, and just think with me a little bit. Maybe it's over your grammatical head, but think with me anyway. Passive means something that does to me. All right, if I say I hit the ball, that's active. If the ball hit me, that's passive. All right? So when we get a passive imperative, an imperative is a command. You think, how does this work? Passive imperative. It's happening to me, and I'm commanded to do it. How does that work? Here's the way it works. I am commanded to let it happen to me. And you read like verses in Ephesians 5:18. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a passive imperative. Allow the Spirit of God to fill you. You can't fill yourself. No matter what you do, you can't fill yourself with the Spirit of God. But you can let the Spirit of God fill you by getting the sin out of your life and drawing close to God. God said what? Draw nigh to me and I will what? Draw nigh to you. So if you draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. If you stay close to the Lord, you can walk in the Spirit. And if you're walking in the Spirit will produce His fruits in your life. And many times when we look at our life and we say, I don't see that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance in my life. That's a big indication something's wrong. I'm not walking in the Spirit. I'm not close to God. I'm not gaining as I should from my Bible reading. Something's wrong. I'm not making the application. There's something missing. There's a short circuit in there. And I've got to make a change. And so, there's going to be... God's telling us here, if we despise the Word of God, we're going to ruin ourselves. We're not going to have closeness to God. We're going to lack God's power. We're going to struggle with sin. We're not going to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And we're not going to... we're going to be overcome by sin. We're going to be overcome by sin. Many times, being overcome by sin happens so subtly that suddenly a person looks at his life and says, what happened? My kids are ruined. My marriage is ruined. My life is ruined. My morals are ruined. My life is a disaster. What went wrong? God, what'd you do to me? No, it isn't God's fault. We blew it. God said, if you despise my word, your life will be a ruin. And when we look back and our kids are a mess and our family's a mess and our marriage is a mess and our life is a mess and our morals are a mess, almost all the time we can look back at the fact that my time with God's been a mess. And I haven't been spending time with God like I should. God is just telling us here, we cannot despise the Bible without ruining our lives. It is absolutely important that we spend time in the Bible. And, oh, God has been really burdening my heart with this. And I'm not preaching at you this morning. I'm preaching with you this morning. I'm preaching it myself as much as anybody because I need this. I want that kind of a relationship with God, and I hope you do too. Now, that brings us to the third question. How may fearing God reward us? How will fearing God reward us? So as we look at this, first of all, we see in the verse, he says the last part, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. So God says, I will reward you. How will reading the Bible, fearing God and reading the Bible, reward us? Well, God will bless those who fear His commands. All right? We need to, first of all, be sure that our motive to read the Bible is to learn and to grow. If you read the Bible this morning, why did you read the Bible? Because it was your duty? Because I need to do that? That's the Christian thing to do? Or was it because you wanted to learn and grow? You know, if you read the Bible for any other reason besides a desire to learn and grow and draw close to God, you're not going to gain much from it because it's the wrong motives. We need to have a desire in our heart, a want to learn and grow. And we also, if we're going to fear God, we need to be ready to change when God shows us something. We've got to be ready to change. Because what did he say? He says, you look in the mirror of the Word of God and you see the dirt and you say, yeah, but that's too hard and that's my favorite thing and I don't like, you know, if I don't want to miss that show. That's a special one. I like that one, even though it does have dirty stuff in it. I can't do that, God. I don't want that one. Give me a different one. See, we're not going to grow. We're not going to grow. And so God's telling us here we need to be ready to change. So when you're reading the Bible and God shows you something, even if you don't want to do it, if God showed it to you that it's what He wants you to do, you better do it. We better do it. I better do it. If God convicts me of lying, I better get it right. If God, I'm reading down through the Bible and God points out something about gossip and I've just said something about somebody I shouldn't, I got to get it right. You know, and God will do that. He'll use the Bible to point out things in our lives to help us. And so we need to be focused on that. So we need to let, God said He'll bless us if we'll fear His commandments. But also the Bible will build us up spiritually. If you will read this book, it will build you up spiritually. It'll help you in amazing ways. Now I got a whole bunch of verses here I'm going to rattle off quickly. If you want to write them down, that's fine, or you can download it from the web. But I don't want to take the time to look them up because I don't have the time this morning. But I think I can quote most of them so that can be a help to us. First of all, the Bible will increase our faith. It'll increase our faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, it'll increase our faith. It'll also point us to salvation. It'll point us to salvation. John chapter 5, verse 24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It will lead us to salvation if we read the Word of God, because it's full of how to be saved and how to show us Christ. So it'll do that for us. It'll also give us assurance of salvation. 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that you might believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might have life through His name. I didn't quote it quite right there, but it's that we might know that we have eternal life. That we might know that we have eternal life. That's right. And so God says if we read the Word of God, we can know that we have eternal life. And also, it gives us victory over sin. Psalm 119, verse 11, that song we sang this morning, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. The Word of God. It'll also give us victory over temptation. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. God said the Word of God is a sword to defend us at times of temptation. It also convicts us when we do wrong. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It convicts us. It works down on our heart. And so the Word of God is our friend. It is our help. It also cleans us and makes us holy. John 17, 17, Jesus prayed, sanctify them by Thy truth. Thy word is truth. So God's word is true and it'll sanctify or cleanse us or set us apart, make us holy. And God wants us to be clean and holy. It also helps us to grow spiritually. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, fully furnished unto all good works. God said, it'll build you up, it'll meet your needs, it'll help you in every way in your life if you'll study the Bible. Then also it gives us direction in life. Psalm 119 verse 5, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible also makes us unashamed. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, many times we can be ashamed or caught off guard or somebody pins us in the corner because we don't know the word of God. But if we know the word of God, it'll help us not to be ashamed of Christ or make a fool of ourselves because we didn't know the answers right. Then the 11th one that I have on the list is that it makes us spiritually successful. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God says, if I spend time in the Bible and let it be part of my life, let it be my guide, let it direct me steps, that I'll be spiritually successful. I think that's what we want, isn't it? We want this. And God says that if we will fear His Word, He will reward us. And these are some of the ways in which He will reward us. Now, the fourth question. How may we fearfully read God's Word? This is right down where the rubber meets the road. You know, how do we do this? How can I change? All right, you look at your life and say, yeah, I was in one of those four categories there. I never read the Bible, or I seldom read the Bible, or I read it but don't learn much from it, or I read it and learn but I don't apply it to my life. How can I change? All right, here's some tips that will help you to be able to change in your life. First of all, approach the Bible reading with a godly attitude. I think this is probably the key. This is probably the key to be able to learn from the Bible. You must approach the Bible with a godly attitude. Give the Bible and Bible study a top priority in your life. A top priority in your life. The other night in our youth activity, I spoke on something similar to this. I'm challenging the kids to read their Bible. And one of the young men said to me, he said, but I just don't have time to read my Bible. You know, I have to do homework after school. And I said to him, well, how about if you take 15 minutes of your television time and read the Bible? And he goes, oh. He didn't want to hear that. All right. See, it's not a priority. See, so the Bible needs to be a priority. So we say, I don't care what else I do today, it's not as important as my reading the Bible. The Bible is going to be my top priority. I'm going to read and study the Bible today, no matter what else. Even if I go hungry, I'm going to read and study the Bible today. Because that's going to be my top priority. And so, that means you've got to choose a time to be able to do that. And make it a top priority. Then, truly want to learn from your Bible study so that you will draw close to the Lord. You've got to have that desire. You know, as the psalmist said, the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. As he said there, that he's longing for God, like a deer that's thirsty. And oh, we need that thirst in our heart. God, please help me to want that. I want to be close to God. I want God's power in my life. I want victory over sin. I want to get rid of that rotten habit in my life. I want to be able to be victorious and be a godly Christian. I want to be pleasing to God. I want to obey God. Oh, God, you've got to teach me. I need to learn. And you go to the Bible eager, looking, searching, wanting to learn. And it'll make a big difference in your life if you do. Earnestly read with a passion to learn. Humbly read and study with a willingness to change. Prayerfully meditate and desire to grow. Again, that verse in James 4:8 that says, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. God said, if we go here, you know, it's wrong for us to say, God, draw near to me. No, it doesn't work that way. God says, you draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. God says, I'm not about to move. You come over to where I am. I've been here since the beginning. And I'm not moving. I'm as holy as I ever was. And I'm not budging. You come over to me, and I'll draw you into me. But I'm not coming to you. See, God does not stoop down to us and come down in our sinfulness and kind of lower His standard to be able to make us feel good. He's not going to do that. God says, if you want to draw near to me, you come. You're welcome. Come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Come unto me. Come. And so God's calling us to Him. And so we need to draw near to Him. So our attitude, a godly attitude, is the best thing to start with. Then our approach to Bible reading needs to be in a proper manner. The first thing I think that is very important and often neglected, and I have, to my shame, have often neglected this. Before I open up this book in the morning, the first thing I need to do is I need to say, oh God, look in my heart. Is there anything in my heart that's not right with you? Have I sinned against you in any way? Have I said something or thought something or done something that I didn't get right? Is there anything between us, God? Because until I'm right with God, He's not going to feed me from the Word. I've got to pull my heart up to Him. And you've got to do the same. You've got to come in and say, God, I want to learn. I'm not just doing this because I'm ticking off a box. I'm not doing this just because somebody challenged me to read to this book in the, you know, months. God, I want to learn. And I want to draw close to you, God. I want you right near my side. I want you to teach me. So God, please, cleanse my heart. Like the psalmist prayed in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So search your heart. Let God cleanse you. Confess anything that He brings to your mind. Get it right with God. Get it right with people. God says in Proverbs 28:13, He that covers his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So when I say, God, you're right, I was wrong, that was not right, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have thought that, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have gone there, that was wrong, God, please forgive me. And I get it right, and He cleanses me, I can have mercy. And then I can come with a clean heart to God and say, God, I'm ready to study now. Please teach me your word. Please teach me your word. Seek the Lord. Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. That's one of the reasons why I like that one song we sing that has got that same title. Teach me thy way, O Lord. It's on this verse. And Psalm 119 verse 18 says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And so we come to God and say, God, I'm ready now. My heart's clean before you. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of thy law. And we open up the book, and we should always open up and start reading where we left off the last time. Now, that's not a hard and fast absolute that you can't read anything else besides what you read last. What I'm saying is have some kind of a pattern you're following. You know, the person that just takes their Bible and says, well, what do I read today? Let me say, yep, we'll try that. It's not going to work. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that occasionally. If you've already had your time with God and you just want something to read for a refresher, that might be fine. But if you daily are just flipping through it and just kind of tossing a coin as to where I will read today, you're not going to gain. It's not going to feed your soul. You need to be reading consistently from where you left off. Pick up where you did yesterday and follow on. And it doesn't matter whether you read 10 verses or 3 chapters, but you need to find something that God can teach you. And so find something there in that section. If you may find something within 5 verses. And you just stop there, say, I'm going to park on this number 5 verse, and I'm going to just read it and focus on it and meditate on it. That is feeding my soul. Then that's fine. If you only read 5 verses, that's fine. But if you need to read 5 chapters to find something, then do that. But do whatever you need to find what God is going to teach you that day. Then search eagerly for God's message. And I kind of alluded to this just a moment ago, but we need to dig. You know, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, talks about our eagerness to learn from God. Verse number 4 of that section says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. He's talking about somebody that's out looking for the treasures. You know, have you ever been gold prospecting? Get one of those meters, you go out there finding gold, and it's hot out there. What am I doing out there? This is dumb. This is hot out here. I've got to find some gold. We're looking for it. I've got to find it. Maybe it's over here. Maybe it's over here. And, you know, searching for it. And God says that's what we've got to do when we come to the Word of God. Search. God, I want a nugget. I know there's a nugget in here somewhere. And God, I want to find that nugget today. And I want you to feed me with that nugget. Help me to find that. And so we're looking for that. And then stop and ponder on everything that God points out to you. You're reading along, and you find something that sticks out and say, whoa, wait a minute, I didn't see that before. Wow, that's something new. Oh, that's something I need to work on. And stop there and think on it for a little bit. Meditate on it. Focus on it. And let God speak to your heart. You know, when you come across the something that needs to look at, that's what James was talking about in James 1:25 when he said that he talked about the Word of God being like a mirror. He said, he that looketh into the perfect law of liberty. The word looketh there doesn't mean to just say, oh yeah, I looked. It means to get down and look. Whoa, look at that little spot. Oh, I didn't see that before. Wow. That's what it's talking about. To look carefully, to get on your face before it and examine it closely. And God wants us to do that with the Scriptures. You're going to learn. You can't just take a casual look at it and say, oh yeah, I looked at it. I didn't learn anything today because I looked, but I didn't see anything. No, dig. Look. Look closely. Every time God stops you, you take the time to look. And then write down each time God teaches you something. Write it in a diary. You know, the best thing you can do is get yourself an old diary or an exercise book. An old diary works best because it's already got the dates on it. Especially if you get one, you know, you just follow the same dates. You know, just, all right, today's the 23rd, so I'll go open to page 23. Write down, God taught me this today. Well, that was good. That was really good. Here's where it was. It was in Romans 3:23. God taught me that. And then you read some more. Oh, there's something else God taught me there. That was a good one. And then once you've finished what you're going to read today, then find a principle that you can live by. a principle that you can write down in your notebook. Now, a principle is a timeless truth that guideline that reveals the mind of God on contemporary issues. Let me say that again. A principle is a timeless truth or guideline that reveals the mind of God on contemporary issues. Let me give you an example. Not long ago, I read the story of Paul and Silas in prison. And the verse there says that Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God when they were in prison. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And the principle from that is that when I have troubles and trials, I need to pray and sing praises to God. Now, I don't know about you, but the first thing I think of when I have trials isn't to pray and sing praises to God. Pray maybe, sing praises seldom. But Paul and Silas, when they were in big troubles, they had been beaten, they were in stocks, they were in prison, in pain, probably hungry, certainly in pain. And what did they do? They prayed and sang praises to God. And so when I'm in trouble, got problems, got hurts, got pains, got troubles, I need to pray and sing praises to God. That's a principle. Now there's nothing there that says, thou shalt pray and sing praises to God when you're in trouble. It doesn't say that, but there's a principle there. See, the principle is, they did it, God was pleased, God would be pleased if I did it. All right? That's a principle. And you can find those kind of things in the Bible as you read. Now, when you complete your reading, review over your notes that you took, meditate on how God wants you to apply the principle that you found for the day, and ask God to strengthen you to apply it. Ask God to give you the grace and strength to do what He's challenged you to do. And then, with God's help, change your actions and apply the principle to your life. Change your actions and apply the principle to your life. You're going to need God's help. It's not something you can do on your own. The Christian life is not something I do. It is something I let God do in me. Remember, it's a passive imperative. The Christian life is a passive imperative. It really is. God's saying, let me do this in you. But a lot of times what we're trying to do is, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to read more. I'm going to be better. I'm going to try to be good. All that is self-righteousness. It's not until we say, I can't, God. You've got to do it through me. I can't. But I surrender. And I let you, Lord. Then God can change your life. And so, you let Him have His way in that. And then throughout the day, do your best to think about what you read. Now, this is probably the hardest thing for me, because most of you know my memory is about this long. You know, and I forget just about as fast as I remember it. And it's gone. And then I have to go do it again. That's why I write it all down on the computer, or I write notes on it, because if I don't, I'll forget it. But maybe you're going to need to put it on a piece of paper, just a little note to remind you of what you learned. Stick it in your pocket, stick it in, you know, on the fridge or wherever you visit regularly. But look at it and meditate on it throughout the day. It'll be a help to you. So this morning, we've looked at this verse, Proverbs 13:13. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed. You'll ruin your life. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. God's got blessings for you that you cannot comprehend yet. If you will just spend time earnestly, seriously, studying, digging, meditating, applying, and changing as a result of your time with God every day. If you will do that, I guarantee, based on the Word of God, that you will see great changes in your life. It'll happen. You will be closer to God than perhaps you've ever been before. It'll make a huge difference in your life. You will begin to see God working in you and through you. You will begin to see God give you victory over sins. You will see God begin to help you to be the kind of a person you ought to be and to get rid of those vices in your life that have plagued you for years. God can help you if you will put it into practice. But I can't do it for you. You got to do it yourself. Your parents can't do it for you. Your brother can't do it for you. You got to do it yourself. You got to do it yourself. And so my challenge to you this morning is the same challenge that I've been chewing on. I got to do this. This is what I want in my life. I've got to do this. I'm going to give it whatever it costs, whatever it takes. This is what I want. I want that in my life. My challenge to you this morning is, will you be able to say the same thing? Will you say, God has showed me I need to treat this book like the most precious book in my life. I need to treat this book very specially and read it every day and learn from it every day and mark it and meditate on it and memorize it and let it change my life. I want that. I want that. And I challenge you to say the same and do the same and mean the same. Not just because I said it, but because you can see in the Scriptures that God will reward you if you'll do that. It'll make a huge difference in your life.